and welcome to our service, which is recorded here in Ely and is designed to bring the love of God into Ely and into the surrounding villages. My name's Chris. I'm the rector of St Mary's and of the Ely team. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, you are welcome here. We're so happy that you are joining us today. But of course, for a lot of people, today is not an easy time. We're still hearing about people who are losing loved ones, people who are very poorly, and people who are stressed because they're having to work harder and in more difficult circumstances than they ever have before. Let's pray for ourselves and all our friends and neighbours this morning. Heavenly Father, we realise that these are tough times. Tough times for those who are grieving, tough times for those who are very unwell, whose family may not be able to gather with them. Tough times for those who are having to work especially hard, under quite stressful circumstances. And tough times for those who are finding things financially difficult because the money isn't there anymore. Maybe the job isn't there. Maybe the business isn't there. Father, please surround all these with your love. Encourage them and help us to live and work together as a church. Help us to share, to encourage, and to look out for each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to use some opening responses as we prepare ourselves for this morning's service. Please do say the words in bold out loud. It's time to gather as God's people. It's time to gather. It's time to listen as God's people. It's time to listen. It's time to pray as God's people. It's time to pray. It's time to celebrate as God's people. It's time to celebrate. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. We're continuing our Life in the Spirit series, and last week we were looking at God's healing love. So let's join together now to sing Spirit of the Lord, Healing Love.
Of healing love.
Next up, Victoria and Edward are going to bring us our readings. They're from Acts chapter 2 and Luke chapter 11. The actual references will be in captions on the screen. And after that, Matt will be bringing our talk.
The first reading is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?'
Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.'"
The second reading is Luke chapter 11, verses 9 to 13. "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened.
Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
Over the past few days, as we've been allowed to exercise more than once a day, it's been great fun to take our son James out on some walks around Ely. James really loves going for a walk, especially if he's in charge, and he's allowed to decide which way we should walk around town. And as part of these daily expeditions, we've also been trying to teach James how to cross the road safely. He's just about mastered the green cross code. He stops on the edge of the pavement and then he looks and he listens. First of all, to check that there are no cars coming, and then he announces to everybody around that there are no cars. You might think that this is the cue for us to then safely cross the road, but actually after checking that there are no motor vehicles, James then has to look and listen for a second time to also check that there are no cats. If there are any cats in visible sight, James urgently turns us around and decides to follow a different route. But if the coast is clear, he announces that there are no cars and that also there are no cats, and we are allowed to safely cross the road. As I'm sure you can imagine, this often ends up taking quite a long time to get absolutely anywhere. But James isn't in a hurry. His pace of life is much slower than mine. Well, as I've been preparing for this sermon over the past few days, I've been struck that I'm not very good at taking life slowly. I'm especially bad at stopping and waiting and observing each car and cat from the edge of the pavement. And I've got to be honest, at first when I read our passage from Acts chapter 2 in preparation for this sermon, I actually found myself feeling a little bit flat. This passage tells us about one of the most exciting days in the history of the early church. In fact, you could say it was the day on which the early church was born. The disciples are together and suddenly a strong wind fills the room and there are flickering flames on the disciples' heads. But something else was happening inside these disciples too. They were being filled with the Holy Spirit. God was at work in their hearts. God was coming to live inside them. God was loving them and helping them to know that they were his children. He was whispering new life and hope to them for the future. And before they knew it, the disciples were speaking in other tongues and they were flooding out onto the street. I like to imagine that the disciples were almost dancing with excitement. They are laughing, full of joy, full of life, full of the Holy Spirit at work in them. And then as they go out into Jerusalem, into the Pentecost harvest festival that was taking place, Jews who had gathered from all around the world started to hear the disciples speaking in tongues, and they were utterly amazed that they were speaking in their own language. And of course, some people were critical of the disciples, and they would have tried to claim that they were drunk, but that didn't deter them. Peter spoke up in a loud voice and he addressed the crowd. He quotes from the prophet Joel and he explains to his people that God has poured out his Spirit on them. He tells the wonderful story of God's love, which he has seen and we've also seen through Jesus. A love which doesn't ever stop, which doesn't ever give up or break up, but remains always and the same, forever and ever. And many of those listening would have believed what Peter was saying. Many of them there became followers of Jesus. And just like that, the gospel began to spread. Like sparks flying from a fire, the good news of Jesus went out to the villages, the towns and the cities that surrounded Jerusalem. And every day more and more people came to believe in Jesus. Wow, what an exciting passage. God's family, his children, his special people, his church was now growing at special speed. These verses are so encouraging. They are fast-paced and full of energy. However, I have to be honest, as I read this passage again this week, the experience of these early Christians did feel a million miles away from my own life at the moment. But then I went back to the passage again and I read it through more slowly. And for some reason, the first verse of the chapter stood out to me. And I want to dwell on this verse for a few minutes now. Verse 1 simply says this: when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Let me read that again. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Now, I know that at first glance, this isn't the most exciting verse in this chapter, but it served as quite a powerful reminder to me that actually before any of the events of Pentecost took place, before the Holy Spirit came in such a powerful way, before Peter preached an amazing sermon and before thousands were added to the number of the church, before any of this, Jesus' disciples were all together in one place. And what were they doing? Well, I think they were doing as Jesus had told them to do just before he ascended to heaven. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. If you flip back to Acts 1 in your Bible, you'll see in verse 4, Jesus says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Today, as we focus on Acts 2, we recall how God the Father was faithful to his promise, and the Holy Spirit did indeed come in a powerful way. In this moment, the church is born. However, the Holy Spirit only came as the disciples waited patiently upon the Lord. And I'm sure as the disciples gathered together faithfully to wait, like they did on this day in Acts 2, there were moments when some of the disciples must have wondered if the Holy Spirit would really come. Obviously, this is just me speculating, but I wonder if some of the disciples might have been frustrated by waiting, or just simply bored that nothing had really happened since Jesus had ascended to the Father. As after all, they were ordinary human beings just like you and me. I wonder if some of the disciples felt scared. And the reason that they were all gathered together in one place was that they were hiding and trying to protect themselves from danger. Jesus has told his disciples that he wanted them to share his love with the whole world. But I expect that they were thinking that this was an impossible job. So they sat there, thinking, questioning, wondering, praying. when was the Holy Spirit actually going to come to them? But as we now know with hindsight, God was faithful to those disciples. He kept his promises and he did send the Holy Spirit. And he did go on to use them in the most wonderful and powerful ways. But before any of this happened, the disciples were forced to stop, to look and to listen for what God was doing. They were called to wait patiently upon God because they had no idea how they were going to face the future by themselves. And as I've pondered this image of the disciples huddled together in a room, hiding from the world and waiting for God to step in, I've been challenged to think about whether God might be calling us to stop, just like the first disciples, to still ourselves and to look and to listen to what God is doing as we celebrate Pentecost today. I believe that actually it's in those times of stopping, looking, listening, those moments of agonising waiting, that God speaks to us and equips us and prepares us to go out again into all that he has in store for us. Those unseen moments when we wrestle with God, when we question what's about to happen next in our lives, and we wonder how on earth God might bring us out of a difficult or a confusing situation, are almost just as important as the most wonderful days of our life, when we see God's Spirit poured out on us and those around us. And I'm not sure about you, but over the past few months, as the UK has entered lockdown, I found myself entering a season where I've been grappling with God. In some senses, I've been forced to stop and to look and to listen to what God is saying to me during this time. And I know for me, normally life is so busy that I end up rushing around from one thing to the next, and I can so easily make life a bit of a blur. I find it hard to be still and to wait upon God. I'm not sure if I should admit this to you, but sometimes, even when we gather together in church, I still find it hard to stop and my mind is always making a mental to-do list of all the things I need to accomplish later in that day or in the week ahead. It's been especially hard for me since we started gathering online to not fast forward through parts of the service to try and finish quicker. Don't you even dare think about fast forwarding through my sermon now. But a few months ago, as the UK entered lockdown, I, like many of us in the UK, have been forced to stop, to look and to listen and to wait on God during this season. And it's not that life has suddenly become less busy. In fact, I sometimes think that at points it's become busier during these weeks than it has ever been before. And yet, as normal life has changed almost overnight, I found myself more aware of things that I would normally miss. I felt like God has been calling me to look and to listen to what he is saying to me. One of the first things I noticed as I stopped was the small tree at the front of our house outside of our dining room window. I hacked this tree down in autumn last year, and when the lockdown began, it was still looking quite dead and bedraggled. I've never really noticed this tree growing before, probably because I passed it as I'm in a rush and run into my car for a meeting. But over the past few weeks, I've seen this tree slowly come back to life in the warmer weather. Green leaves have reappeared, and the tree is grown again. And to be honest, after a few weeks of lockdown, the tree has grown so much that you can't actually see very well out of our dining room window, and I should probably do something to rectify this. But I think for a little while longer at least, I'll let the tree keep growing as a sign to me of hope that in the stopping and the waiting, new life can come. And then something else I've started to notice much more obviously over the last few weeks is how much our son James has been learning and growing. It's not that I didn't realise this before, but suddenly I've seen that he's started to speak new words almost every day, and we can even have mini conversations now. He's learnt how to build towers and to ride a scooter. He likes going out for walks, and he likes especially looking for cats as we cross the road. We've only been in lockdown a few months, but James isn't the same child he was when this all began. And in the same way, I've realised that I'm not the same person either. God is at work in me. He's changing me, he's teaching me, he's growing me and stretching me too. Even in the hardest moments, even in the times when I feel scared or overwhelmed or like I can't cope with this anymore, God is at work in my life. And then most significantly, as I've looked at my diary and as I've seen all the things that I was looking forward to in the next few months slowly disappear, I think I've started to realise what's really important to me. I'm not sure about you, but as I look back at the past few months and years, they've all been a bit of a haze. It's almost like I've been sleepwalking through life, just doing what's in front of me, going from day to day, from week to week, and from year to year. In one sense, there's nothing wrong with this, and we wouldn't function if we didn't do this to some extent. But for the first time in a long time, I found myself realising what really matters in my life. It's my family and my friends. It's my church. It's ultimately knowing and sharing Jesus each day. That's the reason that I want to live. And as I've been reflecting on these things, I've been reminded of a verse in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 10, which says this: "If you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday." Stopping and looking and listening to God's Spirit has forced me to question what I'm spending my life doing and who I'm doing it for. And going forward, I'm not sure that life will ever be quite the same again. Maybe it's just me who's been looking and listening and thinking in the waiting. And maybe it's just me that's met with God over the past few months as I've been forced to stop and be still. But I'm pretty sure that I'm not the only one. During the coronavirus pandemic, Google searches on prayer have skyrocketed and online attendance at church is up across the nation. Communities have bonded together on Thursday nights to clap for our key workers. Facebook groups have sprung up to help ensure people have enough food and medication that they need. We've seen mounting pressure on our politicians to behave with integrity from the public at large and to treat those who are working on the front line with dignity and respect. I don't think this country is the same as it was when we first entered into lockdown a few months ago. As a nation, we've changed. And perhaps I'm reading the situation wrongly, or perhaps I'm too much of an optimist, but I feel like this change is a good thing. For the past few months, we have been like the disciples huddled together in a stuffy room, waiting, scared, wondering what to do. But as we stopped and we've begun to look and to listen for God, I really believe that we are on the edge of a new Pentecost, a time when we can and will see God at work in our own lives, the lives of our families, and our communities too. And you might laugh at me for being so optimistic, but in Acts chapter 2, those who laughed were ultimately proved wrong. Thousands came to know God's love as the Holy Spirit was poured out upon his people and as those disciples waited patiently upon the Lord. Bishop Jill Duff, the Bishop of Lancaster, presents this much more eloquently than me. She puts it like this: "We are at a crossroads. This is the first time in history, Old Testament and New Testament, that the world has stopped with a global pandemic. We have been brought to a standstill at the crossroads. What does it mean to stop, look and listen for God's direction? As the lockdown eases, as the traffic lights turn to amber, what is God saying? I think he's saying three things: wake up, repent, come home." So as we draw to a close today, I want to encourage us to keep seeking God, to keep looking and listening for how he is at work, and to trust that in this season of waiting and questioning, he is at work in our lives, changing us, shaping us, and preparing us for all that he has in store for us as we look to the future. Sadly, we can't meet together in person today, as the disciples did, and wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon us. But I do want to encourage you to try and find some time today to wait upon God and to let the Holy Spirit fill you afresh. As we heard read to us in our gospel reading this morning, God is a good Father who has promised to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him and wait upon him. And in particular, I felt that as I was preparing this sermon today, that God wanted to draw near to those who are suffering at the moment and going through very difficult and painful times. God wants you to experience his love and his healing. He wants you to come home and to find rest and hope in him for the future. I also felt that God wanted to encourage people who lack confidence in themselves this morning and confidence in their own abilities to fulfill the hopes and dreams that God has given them, that God is at work in you. As I looked at Peter in this passage, standing up and preaching with great power, I'm reminded of the many times that he failed previously in his life, the times that he even denied that he knew Jesus three times. And yet when the Holy Spirit came on Peter, God worked in his life powerfully and equipped him to build his church. And finally, I also had a sense this morning that as we look to the future and we consider what the new normal will look like in the next few weeks and months, some of you here are on the edge of something new. God is calling you to consider how you might want to spend your life and this could involve a significant change of direction. So I want to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit for courage this morning, that you would be bold and you would follow the call that he is placing on your life. Embrace this season and this time where life has stopped trundling forward as normal, to pause and to see how God is at work. Look and listen to the Spirit and see how he might be at work. And as we seek to stop and to look and listen now, I want to end this morning by reading to us a prayer written by Nicholas Lee, which I feel picks up many of the themes of my sermon. If you want to go deeper with God today, and if any of these words or pictures that I've shared resonate with you, why don't you just still your heart for a moment and use these words to realign yourself with God's perspective today. Let's pray. Lord, give me the resolution to say no to the good, so that I will be ready to say yes to the better. Give me the courage to keep living in the open-endedness of the future without foreclosing the mysterious work of your Spirit in my haste or fear. Give me the persistence to stay in the wilderness of unknowing until I am ready to receive your call. Give me the strength to keep still and keep waiting when all about me is pushing towards movement and activity and choice. Give me the acceptance to live these days in an eventfulness, simplicity and hiddenness, without craving excitement, distraction or change. Give me the grace to live in the emptiness of not doing, without the rewards of achievement, fulfillment or success. Give me the wisdom to discriminate between my own impatience to move forward and your Spirit's deep stirring of my spirit when the time is right to move. Give me the faith to trust in your obscurity, the obedience to stay faithful to your mystery, the courage to keep tryst with your inscrutability. Amen.
Thank you, Matt. Let's continue to invite God's Holy Spirit into our lives as we sing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and long for to be overcome by your presence.
We now come to a time of confession. It's an opportunity for us to admit to God those things that we have done wrong, those things where we've hurt other people, those things that we're not proud of in our lives as we've tried to follow in Jesus' footsteps. As before, what I'd like to do is to use an action prayer, which involves us curling our hands into a ball, crossing our arms like this, and turning our back on each other and on God. So let's make a start. We'll curl our hands. Forgive us for holding things too tightly and forgetting to share. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We cross our arms. Forgive us for not showing friendship and help to other people. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. And now we turn away from the screen. Forgive us for all the times we turn away from you and ignore your voice. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Please do turn back to the screen. Hear the word of grace in Jesus Christ. The love of God for us never fails. Nothing can separate us from his love. Rise up, know you are forgiven, and live in freedom and faith. Amen. And now an opportunity to declare our faith in God. Together we proclaim, we believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm now going to hand over to Andrew and Naomi Church and their family, who are going to lead our prayers today.
Early in the morning, I've loved going out for a run. I run through the golf course towards Caudal Fen, in sunshine and in rain. I love seeing the luminous green leaves on the trees, and sometimes when I run, a barn owl flies by. Your presence is all around us. Every atom is full of your energy. It's a moment in my day that I treasure, a chance to reflect and prepare for whatever comes next. I love the way that your Holy Spirit inspires us all with a sense of justice and mercy, and that you encourage us to keep these principles in mind when we act. I love it that your kingdom is open for everyone, from the young homeless people living in a project in Ely that I work with, to our elderly neighbour who moved into a care home at the start of the pandemic. I love it that each and every one of us is special, and that we all have a unique part to play, that our story is part of your story.
Most of the time I'm thankful for the fact that we still have jobs, that we can work from home, that our people are safe and healthy, that the flour has returned to the shops. But sometimes it all becomes too much, and this week I've felt overwhelmed. When I look ahead, I don't know what I'm seeing, and I worry about so many things. And I'm sorry for the mess we're in. I'm sorry that the burden of this pandemic is being borne by the weakest and the poorest. For the care home workers, the cleaners, the bus drivers, the supermarket workers, the delivery drivers, the security guards, all putting themselves at risk so that I can feel safe. I know many of them are being paid minimum wage, with 0 hours contracts and only statutory sick pay if they're ill. For the people I come across in my job who can't afford not to work even if they or their family are ill. For all the people slipping through the net, falling into unemployment, unable to pay their rent, struggling to pay for food, feeling trapped and on the edge. It's just not fair, and I don't know where to begin to change that.
Thank you, God, that we have a roof over our heads, clean water to wash with and to drink from, food to eat and good weather to help us through each day. We thank you that we have the technology to occupy us and the ability to meet our friends online. We thank you for our NHS, which has helped so many people to recover from this pandemic. We thank you for our pets that have remained joyful and energetic despite this crisis. We thank you for all of these things.
Please can you help people who are in need, like the vulnerable and the shielded people who can't go out to meet a friend. Please be with all the children who are going back to school and the teachers who will be looking after them. Please help all the people who are on the front line to care for the people who have COVID-19.
Thank you that when we pray, you are listening, and that you are almighty, able to move mountains and do things way beyond our dreams and expectations. Please be with us this week in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Amen.
And now we gather all of our prayers together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Please do feel free to join in. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And finally, we pray our giving prayer, offering the money we give to all the team churches for their work in the community and amongst our mission partners. Together we pray. Generous God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, at your table we present our gifts to aid the work you have given us to do. Use them, use us, in the service of your world, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Hello, many of you will already know that my name is Matt and I'm the curate in the Ely team, but what you might not know is that along with Chris and Maxine Brown, one of my jobs is to help oversee our home group network at St Mary's and in the wider Ely team. And in case you were wondering, the reason that home groups are called home groups is that very simply they are small groups of people, normally between 10 and 15, who meet in a home either weekly or fortnightly for fellowship, for a Bible study and for prayer. However, at the moment, as we're not allowed to actually spend time in each other's homes, home groups have taken a slightly different format. Some are meeting online using Skype or Zoom, others are communicating via WhatsApp or email, and some are remaining in touch using the good old telephone. And even though groups can't meet physically at the moment, we've noticed over the past few weeks that those who have belonged to a home group have said that they felt much more connected with the wider church family during the lockdown. They've had people around them that they've been able to turn to when they've needed support, and they've also felt encouraged to be able to join in with reading the Bible and praying with others from their church family. So on this basis, as we look to the next few weeks, we'd like to give anybody who doesn't belong to a home group the chance to join one. We're hoping to set up a few new online groups in the next few weeks, which will meet using a platform called Zoom, and this allows meetings to take place online, or if you don't have the internet, you can dial in from your landline at home. You can join one of these groups if you don't currently belong to a home group, or if you're in a home group that isn't meeting on a weekly basis at the moment. The online home groups will be temporary, so when the groups begin to meet again in person, you can decide to either stay together, to join someone else's group, or even to continue to meet online. And there's no obligation to stay with your group either if you dislike it. We really hope that you will, but more than anything, we want to give everybody the opportunity to remain connected during this time, and we think it's worth giving you the chance to try out a home group online, even if you're not quite sure whether it's right for you at the moment. Of course, the groups are open to everybody in all of our churches across the Ely team. So if you want to find out more, if you've got any questions and you want to sign up, then do get in touch with me. My email address is matt.phillips@elyteam.org, which should be appearing on the screen now. Or you can give me a call if you prefer to chat on the phone. My telephone number is 01353 666 759. I'm looking forward to speaking to you soon. Take care and stay safe.
As we draw towards the end of our service this morning, we have one last song for everybody to join in with. Lord, I come to you, and it reminds us at Pentecost that our Heavenly Father changes our heart, renews us, flowing from the grace that we find in him. We invite God's Spirit to lead us on in the power of his love. Please join in at home. So thank you once again for joining us this morning. A big thank you to everybody who's taken part, people who've led our prayers, people who have made other contributions, and also for all of our musicians who have led our worship this morning. A big thank you to you all. Please remember that the midweek material will be up on the website from tomorrow morning for use in home groups, or if you want to use it in your homes, that would be wonderful. We're offering coffee after church, a slightly different time than normal. It's Thursday at 7 o'clock, and you're very welcome to join in with that Zoom group if you'd like to. Simply email Elizabeth at the office. Let's continue to look out for our neighbours and pick up the phone to anybody who we think might be alone and struggling. Finally, if you are enjoying these services, why not tell a friend? If there's somebody who you think might benefit from spending some time with us on a Sunday morning, then please do invite them along. Send them the link. And don't forget to send in your questions, videos, poems, pictures, ideas. please do join in the conversation. Our final blessing. May the Lord bless us and protect us. May the Lord smile on us and be gracious to us. May the Lord show us his favour and give us his peace. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Goodbye, everyone.